If you ask most people today what the story of Jonah is about, most of them would probably say, he's the guy who was swallowed by a big fish, right? Well, the story of Jonah does involve a fish, but the real story is much deeper than that. It's really a story of what happens when we run from our true calling and how God can still use us once we start heading down the right path.
Today, lead minister Tim Wanla starts a new 4-week sermon series about the prophet Jonah called Running from God.
So glad that you guys are here today. It's so nice to be here with you. What a great day for you to be here. We're starting a brand new sermon series today, so if you're visiting with us for the first time, welcome. You're picking up right where everybody else is this morning. So we're about to embark, no pun intended, on a 4-week journey that could literally change our lives. And we're going to look at an interesting story. We're going to be looking at a prophet of God by the name of Jonah. Pretty much everybody, I didn't grow up as a Christian, but even if you didn't grow up in church, you would know who Jonah was. If I asked you who Jonah was, you would say Jonah and the what? The fish, thank you. Front row always helps me out. That's why they sit up here to give me clues and notes. But Jonah and the fish. Everybody knows about the big fish. If you grew up, even if you grew up in church and you were at Sunday school, they always talked about Jonah and the fish and Jonah and the fish. But here's what we need to understand today. The story of Jonah is actually not so much a story about Jonah and a fish. And that's what I want to talk to you about over the next few weeks together. It's way, way, way bigger than just Jonah and a fish. And that's what we're going to discover today. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Jonah this morning. Some of you are like, there's an actual book, Jonah? Yeah. It's only 4 chapters. So it's probably only like a couple pages in your Bible, but it's kind of hard to find. If this would help you at all, it's right after Obadiah and right before Micah. Does that help? No. Here's how I'd find stuff. Well, if I want to be really honest with you, when I was in Bible college, I didn't know anything about the Bible when I first went there, so I would secretly look in the table of contents while all the preachers' kids there were going, oh, it's right here. I'm like, jealous. Not supposed to be, but it was. But anyway, here's how you find it, okay? Turn to the center of your Bible. If you do that, that's usually the book of Psalms, if you turn to the book of Psalms. And then you scroll forward through Proverbs, and you just keep scrolling forward, and eventually you're going to come to this book called Jonah. So that's the easiest way I could tell you. Trying to go off Obadiah is probably not going to help you much. So there's a sermon outline inside your bulletin if you're the type of person that likes to take notes. Some interesting points are going to be brought up today about Jonah and the story. So hopefully you found it. If not, that's okay. I put the words up on the screen too. So let's look at Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1, here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, says, hey, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh, preach against them, tell them how wicked they are, which would not be a very fun job for any preacher to have to do. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want any part of that. So God calls Jonah to go, and instead he decides to turn and run the other way, or I guess we could say he took a boat the other way is what really happened. And before we get into the story today, for this first week only, I just want to spend some time looking at some key words within the context of the story. If you've been coming here for any amount of time, I love for us to look at the context of the story. What are we reading and what's really going on behind this? So here's some things that I want to bring up to you this morning. If you're taking notes, Jonah, the name means dove or peaceful one. So the dove ended up disobeying God. The next word in your notes is the word Amittai. And that was Jonah's father, Amittai, if you want to say that this morning. I started reading through my notes and stuff, and I'm like, I had a really hard time getting through the word Tarshish at 8 o'clock service this morning. People were kind of chuckling at me, and I'm like, you want to come up here? Want to come up and read some of these words? Old Testament can be fun to read, but it's challenging my vocabulary this morning. But Amittai is the father of Jonah. His name actually means truth. So if you were to put that together, Jonah's name would be what? The son of truth. Kind of an interesting name for a prophet of God, the son of truth. So Nineveh was the city that Jonah called God to go to and preach. He said, go to Nineveh. And here's something you need to know today before we get any further. Nineveh was Israel's worst enemy. Jonah grew up as a Christian, was taught everything about the Bible, knew all about the Old Testament, so all these things that were going to be happening, and God spoke to him, and Israel hated the people in Nineveh, and Nineveh hated the people of Israel. So there's kind of this friction there. So now that you know those things, I want to look at verse 1 this morning, and I believe that God is going to show us this morning that we all tend to have a little bit of Jonah inside of us. Look at verse 1 again. The Bible says what? It says the word of the what? Thank you. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the good news for us today is that the word of the Lord is going to come to us. And I like that. That gets me excited. I don't know about you, but it gets me excited to think the word of the Lord is still coming through people. God is still speaking to people. In fact, when you look at the Bible, open up your Bible to the very first page. What does it say? In the beginning, God spoke, and he said what? Let there be light. Thank you. I thought some of you were going to say Walmart. Let there be light, and there was light, right? Then the Bible goes on to say that God saw that Adam was alone, and he felt sorry for him. So he took out a rib and brought Eve along to try to help straighten Adam out, and they've been trying to straighten us out ever since, right, guys? I knew that wasn't going to work, just like first service. Every time I do that type of stuff, all the guys are like, I don't know what he's talking about, honey, really. I don't know. Straighten me out, right? You know very well what I'm talking about this morning. So God speaks, and in this case, God spoke to Jonah, but the thing happened opposite of the way it was supposed to. And this happens a lot in the Bible. You look at the story of Adam and Eve and how they were created to help each other and comfort each other, and it didn't exactly work out that way, right? And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah disobeyed. And here's the point I really want to get to. This is the whole gist of this series, is that many times God speaks to us and he tells us things. Before I was even a Christian, I still believed in God. I just wasn't following God. I heard God, I'm not saying audibly speak to me, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was talking to me like, you need to become a Christian. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I wonder how many people here today feel that same way, that, you know, I just feel like God's calling me to do this or to change jobs or to move or to get into this ministry. And yet when we start to get those feelings, we get a little afraid because most of us, the majority of us, don't like to get out of our comfort zone. God calls us and he says, hey, I'm speaking to you. I want you to be obedient to my word of what I'm saying, right? But here's the thing. God gave us this amazing thing called free will. So we get to choose what we want to do. Just because God says to me, Tim, I want you to quit your job, sell your house, go to college, you know, become a minister. I'm like, I don't want to quit my job. I don't want to sell my house. I just want to be where I'm at. And God's saying, no, 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 no. And a lot of people, when God speaks to them like that, they use their free will and they say, look, I understand what you're saying to me, but I want to go the other way. And I think to myself, why do we choose to do that? When we really feel like inside our hearts that God is just calling us to do something, God's calling me to do this, it's like, why don't we want to do that? And I'll tell you why. Because God is often going to ask us to do things that we don't want to do. He's going to often ask us to do things that are going to kind of get us out of our wheelhouse, get us out of our comfort zone. In other words, it might make us grow. It might make us afraid. It might not be something that we've ever done before. And many times, I think, at least from my own point of view, and I don't, you may agree, is that we tend to justify things when we don't do what God wants. And we think, well, you know, Lord, I'd like to move, but I can't afford to. I would like to take that job, but I'm afraid of what's going to happen. I want to quit smoking, Lord, but I just feel like this and this and this. And what we begin to do is we begin to justify a little bit of why we're not doing what God has called us to do. It's an interesting thing to think about. So God calls Jonah, he says, hey, go to Nineveh. Tell the people how evil they are. Listen, if God speaks to me today and he says, hey, Tim, go to the worst city in the world, the sinfulest, most city you can find, and tell those people they're a bunch of dirtbags, what do you think I'm going to say? Can you find someone else to go? Because I don't want to get beat up, right? And here's what you need to understand. Talking about the context of a story, we might look at the story and think, well, Jonah was just a big wimp. Think about it. You can read about the Assyrians in history books. They were a real group of people, real kings, real conquerors. But the thing is, they were terrible, evil, evil people. An archaeologist one time found an inscription from a king of what had happened when he had conquered a city. This is real history here. coming, you know, a story through the Bible, but also found by archaeologists who had nothing to do with Christianity. And here's what this king says, and this I want to tell you is, it's rated PG-13, so I'm just throwing it out there for you. It's nothing too deep, but it's kind of gross and graphic. And here's what the king wrote. He said, after he conquered the city, he said, "I built a pillar over against his gate, and I filleted all the chief men." You know what filleted means? I don't want to go into it. But he said, "I then took their skins and covered the pillar with their skins." He said, "Some I impaled the pillar on stakes. Many captives," he wrote, "I burned with fire. From some I cut off their hands and their fingers, and from other I cut off their noses, their ears. Of many I put out the eyes." And now all of a sudden when we hear this, we're thinking, you know what? Maybe Jonah wasn't so wrong after all. Maybe Jonah had a perfect right not to go because God was saying, "Hey, by the way, go tell those people they're evil." What would you say? Send somebody else, right? God was saying to Jonah, "Hey, Jonah, why don't you go to Assyria and tell, or to Nineveh rather, and tell the Assyrians how wicked they are?" And Jonah's saying, I don't think so. I mean, maybe he had listened to God about a lot of other things in his life, but this one thing that God was specifically telling him to do, he's like, "No, I don't want to do that." And I know that's how it can be for some of us today. I know that's how it is for me a lot of times, is that God, I feel, is telling me to do something, and I try to think of a way in my mind to justify not doing it and why I have reasons of not wanting to do it. When I first became a Christian, one of the hardest things for me was this little thing right here. You know what this is? It's what God calls us to give back to Him. And I looked at this and said, "But this is mine. I actually have money in here today. This is kind of weird." But God said, "This is mine." And I said, no, this is mine. See, I made this. I worked hard for this. This is mine. This isn't yours. And I struggled with that. And so what I did is I turned that part of my life over to my wife. And I said, "Here, you do this." And I grew into it. You know what I mean? I had to work my way through that. It's interesting sometimes to think about that, how we have to grow and how we have to learn some things. God calls us to forgive people. And many of us here have probably forgiven someone and said, "You know, we had a little tiff, we had a little fight, I forgive you." But then there's other situations where very serious and hurtful things have happened. And God's calling us to forgive those people as well. And we're like, "You know what? I'll forgive them and them and them. But God, I am never, ever going to forgive that person because they hurt me so bad. And you know that they hurt me." And we justify that. And God's saying, "But you can't have it your way. You're called to forgive." And that's difficult for some of us. So we just run the other way. And so Jonah heard what the Lord said to do. And Jonah said, "I don't want to go preach to those people. They're evil. They're mean. My physical well-being is in the wheelhouse here." So Jonah went a different direction. And what I want you to know today in correlation to our lives and in with this story is that when you don't want to do something that God has asked you to do, you can always find a ship going in the wrong direction. I don't want to ask you to raise your hands, but I thought to myself as I was driving here this morning, how many times has dumb old Tim found a ship sailing in the wrong direction? Many times. It's not hard to find. And for some of us, we're doing okay for a while, and then we find a ship going in the wrong direction. You know what it's like. Maybe you've had some issues, and you were doing really well, and all of a sudden that one or two friends calls and says, "Hey, let's go do all the stuff we used to do." You find a ship sailing in the wrong direction, don't you? That's the same thing that happens with Jonah. God calls and he says, "Jonah, I want you to go and preach to the Ninevites." And Jonah said, no, that's not going to happen. Look at verse 3. But Jonah what? He ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Why did Jonah flee towards Tarshish? Because he wanted to do what? He wanted to run from God. Now here's what you need to understand. It's talking about the context of this story. A lot of us may have read this story or even thought we knew a lot about this story, but I want to again go back to history a little bit and point out to you that Jonah didn't just run from God. He ran about as far away from God as you can get. Look at this map real quick that I'm going to put up here. He told Jonah to go east to Nineveh and preach to the Assyrians. So instead, Jonah heads the other way, and he goes to Joppa, which was a distance of 550 miles just to get to that port. And then look at where Tarshish is on the map, 2,500 miles away. Now, keep in mind, they didn't have the Royal Caribbean cruise line back then, right? It was just cargo ships, wind, sails. Historians have pointed out that this trip alone would have probably taken over a year to sail that far. So what I wanted you to understand is that Jonah wasn't just saying, no, I'm not going to do it, and I'll just be right here at my house. Jonah said, no, wait, I'm not going to do that, but also I'm going to get so far away from you that there's no way possible that I can do this. It's crazy to think about that. And yet I think some of us today probably do the same thing. We don't just go back and bury our head in the sand. We go back and we've been running. And we've been running a long time. And this is where I relate it to my life and possibly to some of your lives is when I wasn't a Christian, God just kept calling me and calling me and calling me. And I just kept running and running and running. And he kept chasing me. And I'm like, no. No, look. So I would go far away and I would find a ship sailing in the wrong direction so I could get away from God. And what is God calling you to do today? I believe in my heart of hearts that God is calling all of us to do something. And they can all be different. It could be just, you know, quit smoking, adopt a child, get more into God's word. God's calling me to move. God's calling me to change my job. But all those things are scary and they can be hard. And some of us have been running for a long time. And here's an important concept that you need to understand. And it took me a long time to understand as well. You can run from God, but you can't run forever. You cannot outrun God. God will always catch you. He will always find you. He knows where you're at, and he has something for you to do. And some people, I think, you know, that's a little harsh because probably not everybody here has just totally run. Some people might just be drifting a little bit, right? You're like, I'm not totally running from God. I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water a little bit, right? I'm doing a little bit of what he's asked me to do. I come to church. I do this. I do that. It's like, listen, some of us are just drifting. I remember about 8 years ago, I lived in a place called Lake County, Florida, right in the center of Florida. And my wife, in all her graciousness, decided to let me buy a bass boat one time, which was the first boat I ever had, which was awesome. And I would go out fishing a lot and just a really peaceful, relaxing time for me. So one time I decided to go out on this lake called Lake Yale, which is a huge lake. And if you know anything about Florida, here's what most people know about Florida. What? Disney, what? Disney World, right? That's what most of us know. I lived 15 years of my life of Florida. Let me tell you the part they don't tell you in the brochures, all right? Florida's really hot, and it is full of snakes and alligators and big spiders. There, Disney's going to shoot me, but I just wanted to let you know that. In other words, being out in the middle of a lake at night by yourself and you're alone and you don't really know where you're going, you look over and you see all these little eyes on top of the water kind of looking at you and going, fresh meat, right? So I'm not totally dumb. I get out on my boat and I start to put the hammer down and I thought, whoa. I better look back and get like a point of reference because the boat launch I went out of was this long canal, which is pretty typical there. But at the end of it, the trees had kind of grown over, so you could like barely see to get out. So I was pushing things to get out of the way, and I thought, I better look back and just get a point of reference. And when I looked back, I saw this huge radio tower that had this big red light on it, and I thought, I'm golden. If I can't find that, I'll never find my way back, right? So I hit the hammer again, go out, I'm catching fish, probably stayed a little bit longer than I should have. Suddenly, I'm like, you know what? I need to head back. So I start heading back. I come around the corner of this big bay looking for my big red light. I'm like, there it is. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh. I didn't realize at the time, but there was like five or six other radio towers with red lights all blinking down the whole shoreline for like a space of like 5 miles. And I immediately started thinking, well, that's okay. I'll find it. Well, 45 minutes later, I was driving up to things and going, I don't see the opening. And I'm starting to get nervous. I'm starting to get really nervous. I think, well, maybe I should call somebody. I pull out my phone, no cell phone service. I'm like, well, I better turn on my lights because it's getting dark out. I had never really taken my boat out much during the night. Guess what? Lights didn't work. I started to get really nervous and scared, and I'm driving through, and finally, at the very last one, I see this small opening. And I was like, thank you, Lord, because I was really nervous and really scared. And I wasn't necessarily running, but I was drifting. And that's what some of us are like in our lives. We think we have a waypoint. We think we have something that we can set our eyes and focus on. But we get distracted by so many things. And God said to me, he said, follow the light. So he said to Jonah, follow me. I'll show you the way to go. Follow me. But the problem for a lot of us is that we follow any light that flickers. And that's the way the world kind of is today. It's like, oh, here's something over here. Here's something over here. It's like any light, we're like a mosquito. We're just kind of drawn to it. And the thing is we can not necessarily run all the time, but we kind of drift off course a little bit. It's interesting to think about how other things can come into our lives. And when we disobey God's commands, we have to understand that we're drifting. We're drifting. We're in trouble. We're getting out of where we need to be. What we're really doing is we're separating ourselves from where God has called us to be. I really wish I could. There's one thing I could get you to understand today is you may not want to do what God is calling you to do, but when you finally do it, you actually find out down the road that, guess what? God actually knows what he's doing sometimes, right? In fact, all the time, God knows what he's doing. So some of us might be drifting a little bit right now, but we need to get back on track. And when you're on the run and you're doing the wrong thing like Jonah was, then the number three is going to hit you right between the eyes. God might send a storm to get your attention. That's what happened to Jonah. You see, think about, I wanted you to think metaphorically about the life of Jonah, how he was doing so well. God had told him to go, and he said, no, I really don't want to go. In fact, I'm going to go this way. And he gets on the ship, and he's thinking, man, I'm going to be on this boat for a year. I am so far away from that problem. And what happens? God sends a storm. Look at verse 4 with me here this morning. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. This ship that Jonah was on, it just wasn't some little rowboat. It was actually a very big ship, because we realized that there's other people on the ship, there's cargo on the ship, there's all kinds of things. So it was obviously a huge storm because it was affecting this ship. And don't think for a moment that this ship hadn't faced storms before, but this was something really different. In other words, it was a storm that they had never really encountered before. And so the Bible says that these sailors, they knew that something was wrong, so they cast lots. That's what a lot of people did back then. It's kind of like dice. You just cast lots and say, let's see. I don't know if they did that. My old days are coming back here. Let's just see if we can figure out who did this. And it went, Jonah. Jonah, it's that guy we picked up back in Joppa. He's the one that's causing all the problems. And so they went to Jonah, and they called him out on it. Look at verse 8. They said, tell us. I could just see these guys bearing down on Jonah into the corner, and they go, tell us, who's responsible for this, they said. Who's responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? They know it's him, right? They had sailed together for who knows how long and never had anything like this happen, and suddenly they pick up Jonah, and this extraordinary storm comes, and Jonah, he's scared. Just like we would be, because he knows that the ship can sink at any moment. And this is comical to me, and I hope that you can see the irony in the statement that Jonah's about to say in verse 9. Listen, he said, when they cornered him, they said, who are you? What kind of people are you? He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I what? Excuse me, what did he say? This is what gets me. I worship the Lord. I worship the Lord. Remember, I'm the one that's running 2,500 miles away, and now all of a sudden Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord. Look at me. I'm Jonah, the super Christian. And yet, at the same time, do you see the irony here? At the same time, he's running away. He said, I worship the Lord of God of heaven. I could just see him going, who made the sea right here that you're doing this to, and the wind and everything else? I worship you. Isn't that kind of ironic that he says that? And yet I often find that this type of attitude is the same type of attitude that we can often have. And this, when he said this, I worship the Lord, this terrified the people on the ship even more, because it's like, you just brought up the G word, the G-O-D. You brought up God? You brought God into this? And they said, now we're really in trouble. He's got God mad at us. Nobody wants God mad at them, right? What have you done, Jonah? It must be something pretty big, because if God's sending a storm. And Jonah says, wow, you guys, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I don't know what to tell you. And so here's Jonah running as far away from God as he can. And all of a sudden, when the storms come, guess who wants to rely on God again? And I want to tell you just for a moment, if I could just get away from the scripture and just, you know, stand over here on my little box I just want to tell you that this is what I feel is one of the biggest problems with our country today. We constantly, and I'm not saying you personally maybe, but I'm saying as a country, we constantly turn our backs on God. And then when big things come like 9/11 or terrorism, we forget all about Republican, Democrat, Independent. We forget all about those things and we come back together as one people and say, God, we come to you this morning and we ask you to heal our land. And God restores peace and God restores unity and we go back to our normal lives and what happens? We slowly start drifting again and falling back into things. And a lot of people only call on God when they're in the middle of a storm. And if there's one thing that I could tell you today with all my heart, you call on God every single day of your life. Call on Him and thank Him for what He's done for you. Call on Him and thank you for being here today. Don't just call on God when the storms of your life come and say, oh God, I need you now. I'm a Christian, God. Oh, you God, the one who created the land and the sea. You can fix this for me, right? It's interesting how we do that, but Jonah did it and we do it. And this first chapter of Jonah, it shows us an important lesson today. And you might not have thought of this before, but you know, I've heard people say before, well, I'm a big boy and I make my own choices. And if I mess up, I mess up. And here's what I want to tell you, Mr. Big Boy. Your sin and your rebellion can hurt other people. Yeah. It doesn't just always hurt you. And when you stand there and say, hey, I make my choices and I live with my choices. Listen, your choices, just like Jonah, can affect other people. And I bet you there's easily dozens of people in here right now that would raise their hand and say, yes, it does. Yes, it does, my alcoholic family member. Yes, it does, my addicted family member. Yes, it does, my physically abusive husband. Yes, your choices do affect my life. And Jonah's choice affected other people's lives. It wasn't just he was saying, oh, I'm going to run from the Lord, and I got into a little, you know, tidal wave here. There was other people going, what have you done? Your decisions have not only hurt you, they're starting to hurt us. Our sin and our disobedience can and eventually will hurt other people. And the reason I bring that up is, I know it's kind of a sidestep to our story, but the reason I bring it up is because so many people say that to me. So I messed up. Well, yeah, we've all messed up. You know, I paid the price for it. And I look at them and I'm thinking, yeah, but a lot of other people paid the price for your decision too. And so we need to think about that. It's not just our life. Our sin, our disobedience can often hurt our family, our friends, our coworkers. And so in verse 12, Jonah realizes it's his sin that's causing these guys a problem. So he's backed in the corner. He says, you know what? Just throw me overboard. If you just throw me overboard, everything will be okay. Look at verse 12. He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm. He said, I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon us. That's the bottom rung of the ladder type moment that some of us have been at before. That's where we can't sink any further and we just finally kind of give up and say, you know what? It is my fault. I messed up. I did a bad thing and you know what? Just cast me out. Just cast me out. Just get rid of me, right? And these guys, they're probably like a lot of us. They're like, no, we don't want to go that far. We're not mad at you. You know, we'll try to work something out. So they start tossing stuff off the ship and they're thinking, maybe if we get rid of some of our cargo, I mean, that shows you how nice they are. They weren't just like, okay. You know what I mean? Like they took some stuff and started throwing it away and it didn't work. The storm still came and was crashing over the sides. And they said, okay, let's just try to get to shore, guys. And they're fighting and fighting and fighting the wind and they're not going anywhere and it's getting worse and worse. And finally they look at him and they said, hey, you know what, Jonah? We're throwing you overboard. And they threw him overboard. And immediately the sea became calm. And I wanted you to think metaphorically again about the life of Jonah, how it relates to our lives, how he ran away from what God wanted him to do. He thought he was all safe. He ran into trouble. They threw him overboard, right? Wow. The point is, Jonah's worst nightmare had just come true. He's out in the middle of nowhere. He's all alone. And point four is this. Just like Jonah, sometimes a wake-up call is exactly what we need. Because sometimes after you've been through that storm and you've been through everything else and you're just kind of like Jonah and you're just sitting there and you're just treading water and you're just trying to get your thoughts together and think about everything that had just happened and it's kind of a peaceful time and you're like, yeah, I made a lot of mistakes, and maybe I should do this differently, and I should do that differently. You see, the thing is that you need to realize, Jonah still hadn't learned his lesson. So what does God do? He sends the what? The big fish. Gulp. You see, Jonah probably thought, well, that's the end of that. I'll just try to dog paddle. I'm sure he went west. He still didn't want to go. He still didn't want to do what God was calling him to do. So God said, you know what? I'm going to have to send you a wake-up call. And we always hear the story of the big fish, or your Sunday school teacher said, oh, it's all about Jonah and a big fish. But listen, here's the important part that you need to remember of this story, and you might not have looked at it before. Look at verse 17. What does it say? Now the what? Read it with me. Come on, help me out.
Now the Lord provided.
Yeah, the Lord provided. Isn't that interesting to think? It's not like some random event. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The Lord provided the fish to get Jonah's attention. And God used that fish to say, Jonah, do I have your attention now? Jonah, would you like to go to Nineveh now? And I think about my own life, and I think about the lives of other people. And some people, right now, you might be facing your worst nightmare, and then something else happens, and God is saying, do I have your attention now? Can you hear me now? Right? We need that guy from the commercial. Can you hear me now? Because that's what God's saying to a lot of people. You know, you go through all these things and the ups and downs, and you've had your troubles, and you've hurt some people along the way, and you've burned every bridge that you've crossed. And then God has to still get your attention and say, can you hear me now? Do I have your attention? Some of you might be facing financial or addiction problems or something, and God sends something along to say, do I have your attention now? Because nothing else has seemed to work, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that every bad thing that happens to you is from God. God's trying to teach you a lesson. Because I know some people say that is, you know, you lost your job. Well, God's trying to teach you a lesson. It's like, I don't necessarily believe that every bad thing that happens is God trying to teach us a lesson. But I do think we can learn some things from Jonah's story. And there's going to be times in our lives where God's word will come to us. This is the time I'm talking about, and I bet you every single one of you has felt it, whether you're a Christian or not. That you feel something burning inside of you that God's calling you to do. And you're like, I don't want to do that. And if you don't obey, he might send a storm to get your attention. And if you still don't get it, he might send you your worst nightmare. You might have ran and ran and ran, and God's saying, you're still not doing what I'm calling you to do. You're still not following the path that I've called you to be on. And sometimes God has to send that little wake-up call to us, or that big wake-up call, and say, hey, do I have your attention now? Because I've called you to do something. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to get together and listen. God is calling you to do something today. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's to move. Maybe it's to get a different job. Maybe it's to get into ministry or start attending Bible study. I don't know what it is that God wants you to do. If you still don't get it, there's going to be times that God is going to cause you to face your worst nightmare. And when he does that, listen, this is just for the people who are running from God this morning, and you know exactly who I'm talking to. When God's called you to do something and you've been running away from him, your family's been asking you to do that, you're running away from them, and now you feel like you're in the belly of a fish, I want to talk to you this morning. Even when you're there, you need to know something. God still loves you. And he still cares for you. And he still has a plan for you. Even when you're in the belly of the fish. And you know what happened to me, and maybe what's happened to some of you, is that there comes a day and there comes a time when you wake up and you go, you got my attention. I'm going to do it. And it all starts with just kind of taking one step this way and saying, I'm going to do it. What's your Nineveh moment for you? What's going to cause you to turn around and say, you know what, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go the way that the Lord's called me to do. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. Of course it's not going to be easy. More often than not, God's not going to call you to do something easy. He's going to call you to do something that's harder, because that's going to make you grow. And when you think is, we're going to find out later, that God knew exactly what he was doing the whole time. I can't wait to see what happens when Jonah does start heading back and finally comes to his senses, because God said, Jonah, do I have your attention now? My prayer for you today is that you don't have to get to the belly of a fish. That perhaps we're a little bit smarter and a little wiser, and that we have some guidance here to help us and say, hey, you don't have to go all the way down to the bottom rung of the ladder before you can turn around. God can offer you the opportunity to turn around today.